have been known to date younger guys. Babies. I feel like I could be their mom.
I'm not looking for my dad.
Am I getting punked?
This whole is drama.
Drama.
I don't want this.
I don't want drama.
This is up to put me in this situation. Something sexy
about a girl on the floor. So I know I came in pretty hot on Ben yesterday.
And, wow. So I guess we're just going to start right there.
I'm going to be really honest with you. I'm not interested in apologizing. So, Adam, do you have anything else to say before I continue to drag Ben through the mud?
So, yeah, you know, I do. I have a quick shout out that I want to make. Mm-hmm. Before we start talking about the real episode, one of my friends, one of the longtime listeners of this show, sent me a text this morning to let me know. This is my friend Seth from home.
Hey, Seth.
Hey, Seth. I'm pretty sure he and his wife watch the show and listen to us.
Yeah, long-time listeners, first-time callers.
Which is great. I don't even think first-time callers. I'm pretty sure there's an episode like 4 or 5 years ago where he did the same, where he did something and sent it to me. I was like, I got to talk. This is so good. I have to talk about it. Seth sent me a text and said, I've been counting how many times you referenced your minors this year.
Wow.
He has been manually doing the researching.
Oh. And what did our friend Seth say?
He has counted. Let me check.
Let's just be really clear.
Let me check the real count here.
What is the stat?
I'm fairly sure that what he did is just every time I bring it up, you know, he makes a tick. We have 13 times this season through the first, and this is the really embarrassing number, 12 episodes of the season. Mm. I'm doing it more than once per season.
Isn't that interesting?
Isn't that
interesting that you're bringing up your degrees? You're the only one doing it.
It's funny because they're minors. They're not even real education.
Oh my God, this is 14, okay?
No, well, there was already, this doesn't count. This is a meta, you know, whatever. There was apparently a 14th one, but you brought it up, so he did me a favor and didn't count it.
Oh, how nice.
So,
thanks, Seth.
Thanks, Seth. You get a minor in math.
It's like actually
from me,
it's like, Seth, you get a point.
University of 25 to Life is proud to award Seth
a bachelor's of science in.
No, I mean it's got to be a minor.
Excuse me,
University of 25 to Life only gives out minors.
A minor in counting. Thank you so much, Seth.
I don't ever talk about my actual real degrees. I only talk about my minors, my fake ones. So, thanks for counting. And I also for everyone else, I'm sorry I bring it up all the time. This is just who I am.
I told you that you brought it up all the time, and then you came at me saying, oh, I don't do that. I don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah.
This is my persona.
Really,
I'm the minor academic on this podcast. You know?
I won that science award that one time in sixth grade.
Dr. Taylor Robinson, MD.
Hello? I was a doctor.
She had an embroidered lab coat.
I wanted to be a plastic surgeon very, very badly. And then I just didn't, because I woke up one day and then I decided, because I'm a Pisces, that I wanted to be a backup dancer for Britney Spears. And then I decided that I wanted to be a writer. And then here we are.
See, my route, I would have just gotten a minor in creative writing. Which is 14.
15.
Okay. No, the first, that 14.
14.
The disputed 14.
Mm-hmm. If it's an asterisk. It's 14 with an asterisk.
So, you know, I just wanted to kick this. This is the last episode of our season. I just wanted to bring up some data. You know, it's a good point to have.
You know, the qualitative is just as important as the quantitative.
No, it's not. Nobody thinks that.
Well, agree to disagree.
No. Quantitative data is data. Qualitative data is stories.
You have to.
I want to watch my stories and make decisions.
You have to create a narrative around the data for it to make sense.
Anecdotes are the opposite of data. That's not necessarily true. A bunch of anecdotes.
I know.
A bunch of anecdotes together is data. All of the anecdotes, the universe of anecdotes, all of them is data.
Okay,
but
so
an individual one is
we're
not.
Back at the beginning of the episode. And as you know, literally yesterday, we left off with Ben in Tayshia's room, sort of waiting for her to come back.
What is he doing there?
Trying to get some answers, trying to figure out what's happening next. And essentially, for those of you that missed yesterday's episode, Ben came back and said, "Tayshia, I love you. I was so dumb. I should have told you this. MB, please take me back."
Drama!
As long as I was an actual contestant on the show, I couldn't tell you. But the second I got eliminated, I decided now is the right time to profess my, you know, my desire for you.
And again, I by my statement that Ben came in here and did this for himself and for no one else. So I'm mad. So Tayshia obviously is off in another room, pacing and yelling and in a bad mood with the producers. And Ben is just kind of sitting there. So eventually she comes back. And she asks basically all the questions that we have been asking. Like, so what were you so scared of if you couldn't figure out how to open your mouth all of a sudden to say that you love me? By the way, if I bring you back now, what's going to stop you from clamming up, you know, 10 years down the road, yeah, 5 years down the road, better 20 yet. Minutes from now?
Yeah, you couldn't talk. You literally can't talk to me. You couldn't do it. You know, you couldn't do it a week ago. I don't know how much time has passed here. I think it's probably close to a week.
It's truly maybe 4 days. It feels like it's 4 days.
You can't do it now. Why would I think that you all of a sudden learn right. how to communicate?
And then basically, you've told everyone else that you love me except for me. So, girl, what the f*** is up?
I mean, telling somebody you love them doesn't mean anything. It's a garbage thing that this show puts out there that, like, it's important. It's not. You show them whatever. It's this show puts so much importance on those words.
Well, because they have to. What else are they going to do? Based on the structure of the show, I can't show you that I love you by taking you to a place that you really like when somebody else is planning these dates and we're going on walk and talks and
point.
And you know, I can't show you that I love you by taking you, like, if I did that, like, in a perfect world, me showing you that I loved you would be, I would give you your own library, like in Beauty and the Beast, okay?
Wow, but that's a great reference.
I know.
I appreciate the gift.
You're welcome. And so
I appreciate this gift I haven't gotten, the idea of the gift.
That you'll never get. But the problem is that, okay, how am I supposed to show you that I love you if I'm on a television show where I can't watch TV and I can't use the internet to buy you something you like?
Well, I just feel like the show makes it seem like telling somebody the specific words "I love you" is some sort of milestone that you wouldn't get to without saying the words.
I mean, that's
just
all we got.
I just don't feel like that. I feel like you treat people like you love them. And, you know, when you can't communicate with somebody, you're not actually in love with them.
Yeah.
You know, it's easier to talk to somebody when you're in love with them because you're trying to understand their perspective and you're trying to, you know, see things from their point of view and have some empathy.
Right.
And if you're Ben and your version of empathy is sitting in front of Tayshia and mumbling, stuttering at her, you know, you're not doing it right.
So she obviously asks all the right questions. And I'm thinking as we're watching this, this is going somewhere. She's not
going
to take
this. This is not going well for him.
No. I mean, she is upset.
She asked the questions. Why are you just saying this now? Why did you have to go home and
come
back? Why are
you even here?
Whatever. And he really does a bad answer, or a bad job at answering these questions. He doesn't do it. He is not communicative at all.
Surprise.
It's his giant flaw. And listen, I like nice guy Ben. He was my number one for a while. I like him. He cannot communicate his feelings.
He blew his lead for me when he walked through that door. I was fully done.
He came back. He makes this big grand gesture to come back and everything. And then he can't even say why he did it.
He barely could get the words out last night.
Well, she's surely not going to reward this kind of behavior. She sees through it just like we do,
oh,
right?
Oh, spoiler alert, Adam. Not only does she invite him to come back to the rose ceremony, she then kisses him.
She doesn't just church kiss him either. She kisses him like, we are one conversation away from you being one conversation away from being married to me.
Hello. So, and
she
then,
forgets the entire conversation
right.
that they didn't have and just kisses him.
And then she says in the moment, she's like, I can't believe I kissed him. Why did I do that? And I said, I don't know either.
No. Knows why you
I don't
did
know
it.
Why you did that as well.
I think this and the Bennett thing and whatever, she really struggles with telling people the bad news. She can't say no to people here. She's got a hard time with it.
I do have something to say about that a little bit later.
Well, then let's just keep pushing ahead.
Okay.
So she kisses him and she goes, how about you come back for the rose ceremony tonight? Which is not what we expected.
Right.
Cut to rose ceremony.
So Ivan's walking up. Zach is walking up. The two of them are standing there together, you know, sort of musing and talking about what's getting ready to go on. The other thing that I do want to mention is that since Brendan is now no longer with us, and so I guess this is the end of the road for Brendan. We talked about him extensively yesterday, but I will miss him so dearly.
Brendan was so sweet. I wish there were a way to keep him involved in the franchise, but there's probably not. We just need more guys like that.
I just think it would be whatever they would want to do with Brendan would be, I think, so insincere that it would tarnish what he's already created for himself on the show.
He's not cut out for this.
He's not. Like, seeing him in Paradise and, like, seeing all these girls sort of fawn all over him, knowing, like, his general personality.
I don't even think he wants that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to say he's not, like, he's not perfect. He's not the perfect guy. He is this emotional, nice guy, idiot savant type thing. And I mean this in the best possible way.
Okay.
He's a simple guy who just talks straight. And, you know, I'm going to miss him. He was great. And as the season goes on, after having seen the entire season now, I wish Brendan would have won.
Oh, for sure. And now that I did have a friend that did mention this to me, that they felt like his Instagram was super, super curated. But, you know, I don't know. I think that's more of a tactic of, you know, people who have been on the show. He's also a model, so probably the only pictures that he really has of himself that are high res enough to share on the internet that also are not invasive of his own private life are probably all of his model shots.
Maybe he's a guy who has somebody who helps him with this. He seems like the kind of person to be like, you know what? I'm not really savvy at this. Could somebody help me?
We spent a lot of time, a bit of time on his Instagram yesterday, Adam and I, and he posted a video of him with his niece, like her teaching him how to play the piano. Like, come on.
It was cute.
So, Zach and Ivan do not know that Brendan is no longer here.
No, they are expecting Brendan to show up. And it turns out he doesn't, but Ben does instead.
And it is Ben. And Ivan's eyes pop out of his skull, and Zach is like, girl, what is happening?
But the good news is that Ben is the absolute best at explaining things to people, so he carefully and eloquently lays out why he's there and Brendan's gone.
So this bothered...
Wait, that doesn't happen. Just so everyone knows, that was sarcasm. Ben doesn't know how to say anything.
So Ben walks up. He sort of reintroduces himself to everybody. And there was a moment after Tayshia stole Ivan away to talk to him at the rose ceremony where... it almost seemed like a producer or someone had asked Ben to further the conversation in a way that felt super inauthentic, and it felt like a producer plant moment. Did you notice that?
No, but like you literally have to pull words out of the guy's mouth.
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that Ben specifically, someone fed him a line to ask Zach, and it sounded like Ben was like, yeah, sure, I'll say that.
What was the line?
It was something like, what do you think she's talking about with Ivan? Like, what do you think is going on? It was something like that.
Listen, there's only one thing she could be talking to him about.
Right.
You know, when there's the three of you up there and two roses, and she goes, Ivan, can I talk to you before we do this? Like, that's never going to be good.
And he was asking Zach, and it just really, it rubbed me the wrong way. Like, with Ben walking in at the last minute, this moment... it just really felt gross. So, like we said, Tayshia sort of took Ivan to the side during the rose ceremony because it would have been stupid to, like, give the two of them a rose in front of him and not give him one. So, I want to talk about this conversation in particular.
Okay.
So, Tayshia basically says to Ivan that, you know, you're so amazing, you're great, however... I know we talked about a lot of things during our overnight date, and basically I'm paraphrasing, obviously, that I'm really religious, you are not, and that is a deal breaker for me, so you have to go home. That was the conversation.
Yeah, that was the conversation.
So my problem with this is not that, you know, anybody is religious in any respect. That is totally fine. And it also seems like there are a lot of people that tend to be on this show that are super religious. So Cassie is a great example. Madison from last season is another example. Sean Lowe from his season is another example. But they talk about it in very coded language. And they don't bring it up a lot. And so when you're thinking about marrying somebody, making sure that you are aligned in terms of religious, you know, depth, breadth, affiliation is extremely important. And the fact that the show seems to make it a point to not talk about it seems really weird to me.
It's, well, I think there's you have to take these things with just a giant grain of salt. To me, when the religion stuff comes up, it feels like it's an excuse not to like somebody. Like it's the excuse you give to somebody when you don't want to say, I'm just not really that into you, because we've never heard a peep out of Ben or Zach's mouth that they are particularly religious. First of all, second of all, it seems kind of inauthentic, and you know, I don't want to say anything about Tayshia because she's certainly not the only one who's ever done this, but it seems really weird that you would just set yourself up to have three consecutive one-night stands with guys and then tell one of them that they're not religious enough for you.
Yeah.
That's like, look in the mirror over here, you know? Listen, yeah. Pot, this is kettle, you know?
And
that just seems very strange to me. I feel like religion, you're not religious enough or we're not the same level of this, is something that people fall back on as a way to talk their way out of just saying, I'm not into you like you're into me. Or maybe what's more realistic here is I'm into somebody else more than I'm into you, and I don't know how to tell you.
And Tayshia also has not been super explicit, I think in particular on this season, about her faith. She's talked about it previously, and she talked about it probably more on Colton's season. I just think it's really weird that the show continues to not bring that up as like part of a conversation. I'm like, you had all of these other conversations that you were very easily and willingly able to talk about, you know, Zach's sobriety, Ben's suicide attempts, you know, literally having two biracial contestants talk about the Black Lives Matter movement and its impact on their life. You've had somebody on this show that was formerly incarcerated, and you can't talk about whether or not somebody's into Jesus or not? That's weird.
It seems like if it was really genuinely a deal breaker for her, either she made a mistake by having this guy in at the end. You know, she was ready to give him second place until Ben just walked in. Well, whatever. They're doing the show wrong. If it's going to be something that's a total deal breaker, where all other factors considered, she would have picked a guy except for this. They should be filtering that out ahead of the last two people.
Sure, and it should be
like singled out. Where at the very beginning, she just picks a sign that says, "I need someone who's as religious as me," and then half the other guys leave.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you know, so this is the wrong time to be filtering out religion.
And the other thing is that Sean Lowe, to use him as an example, he sort of said it off jump that, like, I'm a born again virgin. Like, I am not, you know, having sex with anybody. Like, I'm here to find my wife, and I'm very into, these are the things that are important to me. My faith is really important to me. But as of late, that conversation has just not happened. Yeah. And I just think it's weird because, yes, Tayshia didn't like Ivan as much as she liked Ben and Zach. But also, it's not like she hasn't been vocal about how important her religion is to her. And it's weird to me that the show continues to not show that conversation. Like, if we are supposed to be of this mind that, you know, that diversity and inclusion is all part of the way that The Bachelor moves forward, whether it's with a Black Bachelor or with, you know, someone from the LGBTQ+ community part of the show, you know, the religion conversation is also part of that. So,
what do you mean?
Meaning you need to show people on here that are, you know, religious and are talking about my faith is important to me. I pray every day, or, you know, I'm Muslim or I'm Jewish. And they don't show that at all. And whether or not that's a choice of the show because they don't want to alienate anybody. Okay.
Oh, but I have a far more sinister understanding of what happened here. This is what I genuinely think happened. I think 5 or 6 people ago, Tayshia just told the producers, listen, it's Zach. I'm going to pick Zach. Everyone knows I'm going to pick Zach. And you guys can write the rest of the season however the hell you want as long as I get to be with Zach at the end. And the producers go, okay, we're going to have a guy get 4th place, then come back and get 2nd place because that's never happened before. And she was like, whatever, just as long as I get to end up with Zach. And so she gets into this spot where the unfortunate casualty of all of this manufactured drama
is the perfect man.
Is Ivan.
Yeah.
And they need to come up with she needs to give him a reason that nobody will question because it's wrong to do so. And so she goes, okay, religion. And that's it.
I don't know.
I think that's clearly what happens. There's no way that we're this far into the season, and every single season for the last, I don't know what, 4, 5, 6, whatever, they go, something that has never happened before is going to happen. And it's this one.
Ivan is a man of science. I'm really sad about losing him. I mean, he really... so multifaceted, so important, so great, wonderful, kind, beautiful, like the best. And, you know, he didn't even really know what to say because he knew that they had had that conversation at the fantasy suite. And he said, this is probably, and he probably said to himself that night, like, this is going to be the thing that's going to break us up. And it did.
Maybe. Assuming it really happened that way.
I think it did. So
I don't think it did.
So he gets in the car. He's dejected. He's definitely sad. I don't think it's the kind of thing where, you know, some people leave the show and have these questions of, you know, why didn't you pick me? Well, why wasn't it me? It seemed pretty clear to Ivan, at least, why he wasn't picked. And it was weird because there were a couple of references throughout the show about Tayshia not picking anyone or her being nervous about picking someone. And this was the first reference of it. He said in the car that, well, she's probably not going to pick anyone. I don't think.
I don't know. That might be a classic male fallacy thing. We're like, well, if it's not me, it couldn't be anybody. Mm. You know, it might just be that.
Well,
but I was on the same boat kind of, I was like, well, I don't know. You know, even as you can listen to yesterday's podcast where I literally said, I don't think she's going to pick anybody. It was always an option to me, but when all these shenanigans that happened with Ben and with Ivan, the only explanation that makes sense is that she said, as long as I end up with Zach, you guys can write whatever kind of fake drama you want in here and I'll act like it really happened.
So Ben is just back now.
So
Ben's just back. She gives
Brendan's gone. Ivan's gone. Ben is back.
Ben is back.
She doesn't even go here.
So she gives both him and Zach the rose, and now it's time to meet the Addams family. Ah.
Oh. You could tell that was 2 fingers snapping, so you could tell it was Taylor.
You're right, that was me.
Addams family is good. Did you think of that ahead of time?
No.
Whoa! Look at you, honey.
You knew. You know my mind works well.
So both Ben and Zach sit down and they have a conversation with the family at large. They have one-on-ones with the mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
These two conversations go very differently.
Yes. So
very differently.
So of the Addams family, we meet Tayshia's little brother, who is my best friend.
Two little brothers. Her cute little brother.
The cute little brother, my favorite person, who became a star during cold season.
Was he 14?
He's 14 right? Now.
He's 14.
He's just so cute. And then Desmond Jr., the next oldest brother.
He is young 20s, right?
22,
23, something like that?
I don't know. Because Tayshia also does have a sister.
What's his social security number?
Because Tayshia also does have a sister. And in the times when they film the show, she's been training to be a Navy pilot. because she's dope. And then mom, and then Big D, who we love, former military man. Tayshia's dad is truly the best. I know we talk about High Dorfman, Andy's dad, on here a lot, but I mean, Tayshia's dad is a G, truly.
So Ben goes first.
Ben goes
first, and Tayshia sets this up for success. She goes, they sit down, everybody, hey, Ben, family, Ben, whatever. Ben, where did you go to college? And yeah. Ben's like, well, I went to West Point. And her dad's ears just go, okay, bing. I'm listening.
I love it. I'm listening. You were in the military. Love the fact that you were in the Army. That's really cute.
Here's the bad news. Somebody listening, somebody ready for something, bad circumstance for Ben because he can't talk.
That's true. And I got the vibe she was really nervous and she was talking a lot, like she was over-talking. Did you notice that? Like in a way that she wasn't.
Somebody had to fill the time. He wasn't going to do it.
That is correct. And so I think her dad really leaned into Ben being part of the military as a connection point for the two of them. The other thing that I will mention is that Tayshia gave her family sort of a primer on Ben before he showed up. And I don't know. I feel like those kinds of things color people's experience of meeting somebody new.
I think she probably did that to Zach too. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure that
they didn't show us.
Well, sure, but I'm sure her parents were not just like, you know, oh, I'll wait to learn any information about him until he gets here. You know, I'm sure they were asking her questions. Maybe they didn't show it her primer on Zach because the whole time she was like, I'm going to pick this guy, so don't even worry about it.
Maybe. So the other thing that I wrote down was that I wonder if Ben sort of comes off as arrogant because he doesn't really talk a lot.
He's got to be hard to connect with on your first meeting with the guy. It really feels like he doesn't want to talk to you because he can't get the words out. And that's kind of off-putting for your first time meeting somebody.
Definitely. And so it was clear that this event in meeting her family was really a mea culpa because he knew what they already knew about him and that he needed to come in and really kiss the ring, if you will. He needed to grovel a little bit. He needed to, you know, give himself a couple of lashes to make sure that people knew that he had repented for his sins.
So what stands out to me is that both individually, mom and dad ask the same question.
Yeah.
What is it that you like about Tayshia? What's the best thing about Tayshia?
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm a parent, you know, let's try on empathy for a second, right?
Try it.
If I'm a parent.
What kind of shirt is it? Is it a Henley?
Well, it's whatever Tayshia's dad is wearing. It's a white Oxford.
Oh.
With a white undershirt because it's hot outside. And
oh, God.
You got to do that.
God.
Everyone is still sweating. Everyone is sweating so hot.
I don't know how Tayshia is not sweating, honestly. I've never seen her sweat.
I don't know. She's just gracing her way through it.
Well, you know what? I think she is sweating. I just don't think we're seeing where she's sweating, if you know what I mean.
I sure wouldn't mind seeing where she's sweating. Anyway, so they both said, what's the best thing about Tayshia? If I'm a parent, I want to hear that this guy appreciates the same qualities as me. She is committed to other people. She is dedicated at her work.
She loves whatever, her family.
Whatever
she
it is that you
ambitious.
Appreciate. Yeah, she's, whatever it is that you appreciate about her, you want to hear that they mirror that.
Yeah.
You know, whatever her attributes are for you.
Mm-hmm. What did he say?
He says to both of them, I love the way she makes me feel.
Girl.
Which is
the worst thing you can say.
The most subjective answer. It's basically like saying, you wouldn't get it. Only I understand what makes me attracted to Tayshia.
And surprise, this is coming from Ben, who selfishly showed up in the middle of the night because he just needed to get something off of his spirit rather than recognizing, hey, maybe she's totally over me and I don't need to be here. But no, I have to say something so that I can feel better.
It just feels like a cop-out answer. Even if it's not your parents. Even if you're just talking to somebody and you're like, I'm into this girl because of the way she makes me feel.
What does that even mean?
My subjective experience of our relationship is the only thing that matters here. You know, throw that right away. That's not a good answer.
That's a bad answer.
That's basically like saying, I don't really know what her best qualities are, so I'll just give you something you can't refute. You know, it's not a good answer. Also, Ben's really bad at just the small talk part. you know?
Oh, he can't do it. He can't do it at all.
He's not an attractive person to be adding. I mean, physically, yes, but I just, I don't, I was very underwhelmed by that.
I'm mad at him.
Very underwhelmed.
Like, all of the goodwill that he built up, it just flew out of the window the minute that he came to her door that last night.
So. Anything else about him?
I guess this was fine.
So Zach shows up, and he is essentially the opposite. He has real life things that he likes about Tayshia, yeah. And he came prepared to discuss them.
Yeah.
He's good at just shooting the breeze with the family, yes, you know?
Making soft jokes. I know you like that and you notice that.
I do. Telling jokes is the way you make friends with people right away.
And she's very much letting him do the talking as well. Like, in watching her with Ben, she was talking for him. She was letting Zach do the interview process.
Zach, you know, he kisses the parents a lot. Mm-hmm. Like,
he was gassing up her dad.
Gassing him up. Big time.
And he loved that. He loved that.
I mean, you gotta do that.
You gotta
do it. When the parents ask you questions, you gotta say, here's what I remember. Like, I'm so dedicated to knowing your daughter that I have remembered the parts of the conversation that are about her parents so that I could give you back facts about yourself. Mm-hmm. That's how important she is to
me.
And it works.
Oh, it works.
It totally works.
Yeah, so Zach essentially told Tayshia's dad this story about how, you know, Tayshia has told me, you know, all the things that you've done for her, that, you know, you put her through school, that, you know, you've been there for her through some of the hardest moments that she's ever had. And, you know, I don't want to be the person to take your place, but I know that I have really big shoes to fill because of the person that you are and what you've done for your daughter.
And he totally forces it in. It's,
oh yeah.
The question is something like, what do you like best about Tayshia? Yeah. And he answers like a politician or like a marketing person who
like
only
has
one message.
Like someone who works in sales.
Yeah. He answers like a debate contestant who's only studied for one question and gets asked something else. He goes, what I like best about her is that her connection to her family is so strong because her parents were so supportive of her. And you're like, bro,
wait. We weren't here. But okay.
You just rephrased their question and then inserted your own question at the end of it and then answered that instead.
Which is fine because you did kind of say
something.
It
totally works.
You said something I wanted to hear. And I like it. So the only other thing that I think we would mention here is that, you know, they talk a little bit about Zach also being divorced. And I mean, obviously, he's not in a position to really tell the full story here.
No, he's not. But he's talking to an audience that really can't judge him that harshly.
No.
Somebody they love has already been divorced, too.
Exactly. But I mean, I think under different circumstances, I would be curious to see. To me, Tayshia's dad and family seem pretty conservative. So I think under different circumstances, I wonder what that conversation would have to be like, where she would have to tell him, listen, you know, Zach has a history with addiction and that kind of thing. So, I mean, that's definitely not something that they could really judge him on either, but I would just, you know, be curious to see what they have to say.
I think the whole both of them coming from a divorce background and sort of both saying to each other, like, I'm not that old person anymore. I'm this person instead.
Yeah.
Is sort of a crucial part of their relationship that she doesn't really have with anybody except for Brendan, who's not there anymore. But yeah, I think the family sort of also gets it by accepting Tayshia's, you know, sort of flawed history. They're open to accepting the same thing from Zach.
Yeah.
You know?
So there was a second reference here to allude to that Tayshia might not pick anyone. So I think it was Zach that was the person that said to her, she was starting to get nervous about the prospect of getting engaged. And he said, there's no rush. Weird, right? Did you notice that?
I didn't notice it.
Yeah.
Apparently I just don't count anything.
You're not listening.
I don't count how many times I'm talking about my degrees.
You don't know.
I don't count.
You don't know nothing.
I don't count any of this.
Mm-mm.
What am I watching?
I don't know. I don't know.
You don't know.
So after all that, I think the other thing to mention too is that no one like talked to her dad about like asking Tayshia to asking him to propose or anything like that. I think probably because she's already been married before, the jig is up. Like, I mean, come on, like we're not doing this
anymore. Maybe they just don't show it anymore or something.
It is kind of a weird thing to continue to harp on.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, okay. Now we've had our family meetings. They've gone how they've gone. Tayshia is in the home stretch. We're all very excited. We've got Zach, we've got Ben. Everybody is planning for the future.
There's only one logical next step. Journaling.
Journaling. And in the midst of journaling, Tayshia gets a visit and a knock on the door. People love knocking on Tayshia's door. And guess who it is, guys?
So she's sitting there, she's journaling. We hear the knock. I literally go, oh my God, Bennett's back.
Stop.
these guys who've been eliminated just keep showing up and just showing up at Tayshia's door, and she's just too polite to say no to them. I was honestly like, who is back?
This is the problem with quarantine. Everybody's just hanging around so that they can all just kind of show up.
So it turns out to not be an actual contestant at all. It's just her dad.
It's her dad. Great. Also, Tayshia is wearing this amazing denim dress. And you know I love a denim dress. So can't wait until they post that on the Bachelorette stylist Instagram handle so I can buy it for my trip to nowhere.
So dad comes back to have a serious conversation with lots of straightforward guidance and just obvious advice for her.
See,
right?
Adam, this is where you're wrong. This is where you are unbelievably wrong. So Tayshia's dad comes in and basically says, we are really nervous and worried for you, and we don't want you to make a mistake.
Let me crank up the pressure 100 times.
I'm going to crank up the pressure 100 times. I'm also not going to tell you who we prefer as a family. I'm just going to come in here and tell you, don't make a mistake. Don't fuck it up.
We have a clear opinion on what the right thing is, but I'm not going to tell you what it is.
I'm not
going to
tell you at all. So this is something that I feel like I have started to see, and something that has clicked for me about Tayshia. That for her, she says this a lot when she is overwhelmed by something or her feelings are very intense. She'll say, it's a lot, and then will not articulate what is a lot about it. So there is something in her, or something that has been created in the way that she deals with things, that feelings are really heavy, and that I think in her background, you can kind of see that she was definitely coddled. And she doesn't deal well with feelings and doesn't deal well with things when they don't go her way. And so as a result, she, in the way Ben does, kind of shuts down and kind of, you know, turns to this, well, people will just leave if they're not interested in what I'm, you know, what I want to do, or sticking things out. She's very into, well, I'm just going to, you know, grit my teeth and deal with it. And even though feelings are heavy, I don't want to really deal with feelings. And you could kind of tell that, I think, in her conversation with her dad and in her trying to make this decision.
I hope for their sake that there's some actual important part of this conversation that they just left on the editing room floor because it would give away the ending. I hope that's what happened. Because it really just seemed like a father and a daughter sitting on a couch, staring at each other, agreeing that this was really important and agreeing that she should get it right. And then not actually discussing the correct way to make the right decision.
Exactly.
Or even who the family preferred.
So
this is a binary choice at this point. It is one or the other.
So here's a third reference. In the moment, post her dad showing up, she says, I can't decide if I want to get married again.
You watch the show like I used to watch The Mole.
Honey, you gotta listen to everything. You gotta listen to everything. You gotta see it all happen.
I used to watch The Mole in real time, no DVR or anything, with a little notebook and everything. And I was so obsessed with the show. Talking season one of The Mole, I was in like 7th or 8th grade. I would make all the contestants. I'd make grids. I'd have theories, whatever. I'd watch the show, and then the second it finished, I'd call my friend Mark Downey on the phone.
We love you, Mark. We love you, Mark.
We have to talk. And then we'd talk about it all week at school, too. You know, it was all we talked about. And I dug into the smallest things. And then the very last episode of the show, they go back in. They're like, we've been dropping a million clues, and here they are. And you sit there and you go, I caught that one.
Can you guys believe that Adam didn't have a girlfriend until he was 18?
I was selected. I was selected.
Adam was so focused on
everyone was weird when they were 12.
Listen.
I watched The Mole. Deal with it. Okay. I love The Mole.
Okay.
Season one of The Mole was one of the best parts of television ever in the history of television.
Mm-hmm.
Better than whatever the hell we're doing on this show.
That is absolutely correct. So, again, they're continuing to peddle this narrative that she might not even pick anybody. She might not even pick anybody.
Casting doubt into her...
Oh my God, they're casting doubt everywhere. The
so
doubt,
much doubt.
It's a net. We cast it.
Cast it. I heard it. Sound effect.
It just hit
somebody
the water.
Doing Foley in
it
here.
Just hit the water. That's busy doing the Foley. So, the date with her dad ends, and obviously Tayshia is distraught. So, we're going to...
Distraught because of the weight of the thing, or distraught because nobody has any... We have less clarity than we did at the beginning.
Distraught because it is 120 both. Degrees outside,
oh
and the air conditioning is not on anywhere. Okay,
they cooked these people.
From the inside out.
They cooked
this
them.
This is torture.
Who could make a good decision under these conditions?
I would be...
In this economy?
In this economy, right now, in front of my salad. So, I do want to mention this. We're going to go a little bit out of order, and I'm going to tell you why. Because this is another thing that I saw and I noticed, and Adam, when I told him that this was happening, Adam was shook as well. We're going to start with Ben's date.
Okay.
And here's why. Tayshia was wearing the same outfit when she met up with Ben as she was when she was meeting her dad.
So we're going to talk about this in the order that it actually happened, not the order it was presented to us on television.
Correct.
So, boom. Dad leaves. Door closes. She goes back to journaling. It's still hot.
Yep.
And then the next thing that really happened,
correct.
And we can tell because of the outfit continuity,
correct.
Is she goes on a date with Ben.
Right. And it's not even really a date. Essentially, it is...
It is not a date at all.
I am coming over here to break up with you.
It is a polite letdown.
It is a polite letdown. So, essentially, she went, talked to her dad, and it... Now, when you see the edit, and when you also see that they didn't really say anything in the conversation with her dad, it makes me wonder if dad said, don't pick Ben.
I think that's definitely what happened.
And she...
Her dad said, you can only pick one of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
You need to break it off with Ben right now.
Mm-hmm.
Do it in the best way you can.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, okay, I'm going to go do it right
and
now.
And she went and did it immediately after their conversation. So she meets up with Ben. I think they basically go in and sit in some room and she's like, I mean, girl, you gotta go. It's not happening for me.
All things considered, I think it happened the best way it possibly could. She was like, hey, you know, I'm just not gonna pick you. And I think you're still great and everything, but I'm not gonna pick you. I was never, well, this is me editorializing. I was never gonna pick you. They just wanted you back on the show to create fake drama.
What drama?
I just can't believe you would come and do this, bring him back here, and then have... And then break up. And then the other thing is that Tayshia also doesn't spend a lot of time on breakups with people, which I find to be really interesting.
You don't need to.
But, I mean, we're so used to people sitting and breaking up with people for hours and hours and hours.
I mean,
and Tayshia's just like, no.
You could sit there and try to talk your way out of it. But once one person, it doesn't take two parties. A breakup is not a two-party consent
thing. I've watched that
thing.
Episode of Seinfeld. It is a two-party
no.
consent thing.
It is a when one person decides
we're not
it's
breaking
over,
up, so. George.
So, you know, Ben is a gracious loser. He basically goes, listen, you know,
he knows he came back and he shouldn't have come back.
He has
period.
No right to be here.
He has no right to be
he's playing with
here.
House money. He
yes.
goes, hey, listen. You know,
he's on borrowed time.
Good luck and everything. I think the guys really all do like each other. He goes,
I agree.
You know, I think Zach's a pretty cool guy too. Like, I get it. Just see you later.
But like, don't come and like meet my family.
But also,
that was stupid.
Ben's not going to talk his way out of this.
No.
You know, if the shoes were on the other
foot. If there
foot,
is anybody that's not going to talk their way
that's
out
what I'm
of
saying.
It.
When somebody goes, I'm breaking up with you. If your first instinct is, I'm going to talk my way out of it. You got to feel like you can.
Yeah.
If you're Ben. you know you're not going to.
No, you got to be Patrick Bateman to get your way out of a breakup.
I mean, you got to be skilled at the way out of it.
And then into a tarp.
And then into the dry cleaners.
Because he's a murderer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brought that up a couple of times this season.
I did, didn't I?
No, I did once. The Bennett
was... Oh, of course. Dressed like Patrick Bateman, yeah.
Yeah, well, I said he was kind of like Patrick Bateman slash Batman.
Yeah, you know? I mean, Batman...
Bruce Wayne, Bateman, it's a fine line.
Well, but, you know, the point of that is that Christian Bale played both Patrick Bateman and Bruce Wayne.
You know, I knew that.
Did you?
Somewhere inside of me, I did.
You knew. Everybody, yeah.
I knew it, but I don't store it at the top like you do.
Are you sure? Because it's pretty obvious. Everybody knows that's part of the whole shtick.
So Ben loses.
Ben leaves.
Ben loses. He's gone. He's just like, whatever. See ya. I'm out. I'm going to go into the air conditioning because that's the only thing that matters right now.
Yeah. So Zach and Tayshia go on their final date, and their date is... learning a choreographed dance for their wedding.
So it's the show is over. It's just sappy fallout from here.
Yeah.
So they go on this date. They learn their first dance, I guess, which, by the way, you don't have to do before the engagement.
You don't.
You don't need an engagement dance, but it's a cute little date, I guess. I mean,
it's sweet.
What are you going to do at this point?
So part of the narrative of this sort of segment is that this is the second date that Tayshia has had with Zach where she's had doubts. You know, we all remember the date that they had where she was wearing the wedding dresses and she was like, this is really awkward and weird for me because I've actually been married. I've actually done this. And now this second date is the one where she is trying to make it seem like she's kind of nervous and uncomfortable. And, you know, I think now knowing what we know that we're just reading that as nerves of like, oh my God, this is it. This is my husband. But a fourth reference, Adam. Are you ready?
No, but
so Zach.
I'm never going to be ready. Just so hit me with it.
So Zach says during this date, I don't think she's there yet.
See, I knew I wasn't just making this up. I knew I wasn't. I was 24 hours ago. I was so sure. I was like, I'm watching The Mole season 1 in 7th grade. I've read between the lines before.
I know what we're talking about.
I can see where this is going. I was so confident. Turns out I was wrong, but I was confident about it.
It's something, and that's what matters. So I think the big thing about this date is that Tayshia, being that she knows at this point that it's Zach, period. Nobody else is here. We're done. For her, she wants to make sure that Zach is not going to like wake up one day and change his mind, or that something is going to happen and he is going to, you know, decide that this is not for him anymore.
Or that he's just going to become a different person.
Yes.
When you go back to the real world, which is, you know, which is, first of all,
we've talked about it a lot this
season. One, a very legitimate concern. Yes. But number two, one that you need to put away before you agree to be the Bachelorette.
Right. When especially
now is not the time to be having this dilemma.
Don't have this conversation when you know that you are going to pick somebody to be your life partner after spending a cumulative 72 hours with them. Please. Not today.
And also sort of not really knowing anything about them.
Right.
You know?
So Zach does an adequate job and kind of explained to her, like, I am 36 years old and today I am celebrating 9 years of sobriety. So when you are talking, which is wonderful, when you and him saying to Tayshia, when you are talking about, I'm going to wake up and be a different person, or I don't, you know, or you're worried that I'm not going to try when things get difficult or want to stay in this relationship and work on things with you, or that the person that you see now is different than the person that I'm going to be outside of this. I don't know what that's like because I literally almost died. So whatever you think is a problem is not a problem. Thoughts, Adam?
I don't think this is a... This is going to sound terrible, but... I don't think this is a unique problem. I think everybody in the history of the world who has ever proposed to someone... And the way that this show works is technically that the men propose to the Bachelorette. But the way that it works is that the Bachelorette is the one deciding who gets
proposes,
to do it.
Yeah.
She is actually making the selection,
yeah.
not them.
Yeah.
When you propose, yeah, you have a second where you go, well, this is a pretty big commitment to get into, you know?
This is bigger than a coat of paint, right?
Yeah. And then right after that you go, I mean, it's kind of exciting. I love this person, you know? And, everyone has the moment where you go, maybe this isn't the right thing. And then you just go, no, it definitely is. You know, well, hopefully you do.
Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's especially poignant for her. It is additionally acute for her because she has been through a divorce once, and going through a second one seems indoable. Like, literally something she could not go through.
Right. Again. And specifically, you know, the way that her first marriage ended, based on what we know. Her ex-husband, I think he went on Reality Steve's podcast to kind of talk about, like...
his Tony Parker syndrome?
Yeah, pretty much. About how, you know, this is what happened in our relationship, and, you know, this is why I cheated, and this is what was going on, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's hard to come back from that, I would say. But here we are.
So... For the last, I don't know what, 30, 40 minutes of the show, you're basically just watching two people who, you know, genuinely feel like they're pretty good together. You
yeah.
know, on the spectrum of now, what, 16 couples that we've covered?
Mm-hmm.
17 couples, I guess, because this season had two.
Yeah.
They feel like they're actually pretty well suited for each
yeah.
other. It doesn't feel like they have glaring mm-hmm. errors that we're not going to talk about, like
yeah.
Colton and Cassie.
Yeah.
You know, like, there are other couples that just are clearly set up to not work. These two probably have a pretty good chance.
Yeah.
And if they don't, they're not bad people.
Right.
They both seem like pretty likable people.
And frankly, if we really want to talk about the data, the odds are against them anyway. So, you know... I think it's been a long time since we've had a finale, and obviously, you know, we get to the end of this whole thing. Tayshia is wearing a dress that is unbelievably too tight. It is 1,000 degrees outside. You can see the heat rising off of the ground in the close-ups. It is awful.
It's torturous.
And Zach and Tayshia have this beautiful, like, proposal moment between the two of them. It actually was really nice, and I think it's been a long time since we've watched this show where we've gotten to a finale where, one, I feel like, okay, this is nice. These are two people that I think deserve each other. And we've gotten to a finale where I feel like the lead has made the right choice for them.
I generally agree with that. The only thing I don't want to see, and I know this is television, so you can't do this, is... You know, I've said this, I don't know what, how many times on the show before, but when you propose, just keep it short. You know, there's no need to go into a 100,000-minute monologue where you go, the moment that we met, and you walk through, like, don't do that. You're not going to remember what you said. She's not going to remember what you said. You know,
I mean, they will remember it because it'll be recorded on the DVR for the end of time.
Speaking of my friend Mark Downey, recently proposed to his I guess now fiance, and texted me right after, and he was like, you know what, I kept it short and I'm really glad I did, because he listens to the show and takes our advice.
That's right. And also, don't propose in front of a bunch of people.
Also, why didn't they let them do this in the shade? I get it, you're gonna be outside, there's gonna be no air conditioning. Could you at least do it under a tree or something,
or do it at night when you know that it's not gonna be as hot? Jesus.
So yeah, there's very little to poke fun at here. The people seem
nice.
Like they're a good match
they're
for
happy.
Each other.
Like, you know, I think it was...
She had a little bit of a Jesse Spano moment where she was like, I'm so excited!
Yeah.
But, you know, she did just get engaged, so you can't really hold her... You can't really be like, well, you need to be super buttoned up right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pretty big decision in your life.
So that was the end of the season. The quarantine miracle, the COVID season at the La Quinta Resort.
The first COVID season, we're about to start another one in 2 weeks.
That is true. So we've seen a handful of trailers from Matt's season. And I think, like we've said previously, the big part of this is going to be who is Matt? We are going to be learning about the women and learning about Matt at the same time and at the same speed. So, you know, much like with Tayshia, we could probably easily say, oh, she's going to like him. She's not going to like this person because we know her already. With Matt, we don't have that luxury.
It seems like it's going to get ridiculous. It seems like there are at least a couple of villains in the house.
Yeah.
Which is something this season sort of had with Noah, but not like a traditional villain, you know?
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of real inner house drama at all. Of the 16 seasons we've done, this is probably dead last in terms of in-house contestant on contestant.
Right.
You know, passive aggression or violence.
Okay.
Whatever. It probably was, right? The house got along better than probably any house we've ever covered.
I would agree with that strongly, especially once Tayshia came in. It was like night and day.
It seems like that's going to turn around for Matt's season.
Well, you Thank know, God. Women. And then the other thing is I would be curious to see how this quarantine season goes, how things will change now that they've already had one season under their belt and how maybe they've perfected the process, if you will.
I hope it's air conditioned.
I mean, it's the winter in Pennsylvania. It's somewhere cold. So it's truly the fall. So there's no problems and qualms with it being 120
degrees.
So it
seems like they fixed that one thing.
They fixed that one thing. That is something.
That's nice.
That is nice. Yeah, I don't really know anything about Matt other than the few things that I know about.
Oh, he's hot. He sure is attractive. He's got a lot of muscles.
Yeah, he's muscly. He's, you know, also biracial.
Tell me something else that you can't just look at him and figure out.
Going to say he was tall.
Yeah.
That's all I got. All I got.
It's going to be, I think it's going to be a very fun season for making fun of people, which I'm looking forward to.
So we'll see. I guess we'll be back in about a week and a half.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
We'll be back on Tuesday, January 5th.
That's right.
Which is two weeks from the day we are recording this.
Correct.
So we get a week off.
Yeah, we get one week off. It'll be great.
Great.
Dizzy will be out of her cone by then. Her full hysterecto will have gone extremely well. And
Very excited about that.
Very excited about that. She has been very cute, very sleepy, groggy, weird, and wearing a cone that just makes me laugh.
Just stunning. She's a beautiful animal.
She's so funny. Okay, gang. Well, we'll see you in a bit.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Do you have a ring yet? Do you have a ring yet? Do you have a husband yet? Do you have a ring yet?
This is about me now. Look where I'm at now. Look what I'm doing, and I don't want to give up.
I'm the oldest bachelorette, this 39 that's standing here that's single, because I didn't settle for men like that.